governor did it. He announced the end of the school year for the state of Illinois, whether it's a private school, parochial school, whatever it is, whatever your kid's in, they're not going back to school this year. And there's a question about whether or not they're going to go to school next year and repeat whatever year this was in Chicago, the city of Chicago specifically, because of the school strike. There's a discussion about that. At least a question was asked about that. But I kind of doubt that that's going to happen. I think we're going to just end up with a, oh, it was good enough kind of a solution to this, and then move on to whatever the next year is going to be, assuming that we can do that relatively safely. But now that leaves us with a kind of a bigger issue. And that bigger issue is a significant one, which is, what are you going to do with the kids? And especially if you start having to go back to work, what are you going to do with the kids? What does this mean for the family dynamic? It's already been very crazy making. I've talked to a lot of people who have got young, medium, and big kids in their home, and it's, you know, space is getting kind of tight. If I just might be completely honest with you, and I think everybody who is experiencing that right now understands what I'm talking about. So if you have any thoughts on that, if you're experiencing that, you have a solution for it, or you just want to vent your frustration with this, 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. All right, Dr. John Duffy is joining us right now, and Dr. Duffy, we've spoken before about these issues. This is going to be very tough on the parents and the kids. Who's it tougher on, though, do you think?
Well, based on the communication I have had with clients since the governor made the announcement just a little while ago, I would have to say parents are really struggling already, kind of anticipating this was going to happen, but they seem kind of shell-shocked with, like, how are we going to manage to try to replicate any kind of schooling or any kind of order in this house going forward. I think the kids were pretty resigned that this was going to happen a while ago. But the parents right now, I think, are really struggling and probably will be for the weeks to come.
Do you think kids are going to be able to process what's happened here? I mean, let's talk about the age differentials. Young kids, you know, may not fully understand what it is, but I would start to worry about kids who start to get really familiarized with what's happening in the outside world around them when they're 8 or 9 years old and all the way through 18. This is really going to leave a mark, potentially.
And you've got the right age group there, Ro, too, right? Right around 8 or 9 years old, kids really have an awareness of what's going on here and are talking to their parents and are talking to me and other therapists and professionals about it. And, these kids are affected. They recognize what they're missing out on. They're recognizing day to day they're out of rhythm. They're not with their friends. They're not with their teachers. They're not getting up early. and just the balance that school and the structure of it brings to a kid's psyche day to day, they're missing that. And even if it's not this absolute conscious thought in their head, you can feel it when you talk to them, that they are absolutely out of sync with themselves.
Yeah. So what do you do for your client base? How do you advise them on that as a family therapist?
Well, you know, at this point, my advice, honestly, is a little different than it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, because then I was really encouraging parents and students I was working with, like, hey, build as much structure as you can into your day. Get up at the same time every day. Get your schoolwork done. And then if there's a little time for Snapchat or for video games or something at the back end, great. Just being realistic with the way households are working right now and the structure of them, that is really unrealistic. And I think we need to shift our expectations down actually quite a bit. If your kids get some work done every day, they sit there and they engage in the e-learning stuff a little bit for half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, you're doing a great job. If they don't pick up on all the material, I've talked to administrators, I've talked to some teachers, and they've said, yeah, we don't really expect that. If you can just keep some of that structure in place, you're doing a pretty good job. You know, the best we can do.
You just hit on something completely important, John. We all went to school different times at different levels. Some of us paid more attention than others, right? And all of a sudden, you're with your kids who the speed, like we were from our parents, these kids are from us. It's the speed and the depth of what they're learning is different, and the material is different, and especially in the digital world and how they're learning is different. I think there's a lot of parents who, you know, want to maintain authority, and they're the ones that, you know, the kids can rely on for, you know, truth and, you know, guiding them through and having answers for them. But then all of a sudden fall from grace while they are trying to help them with their homework. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, you are so right about that. Even at really young ages, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, I've worked with some parents who feel like they are way over their skis in terms of, like, I don't remember how to design a sentence properly or a paragraph. And and so you almost, a lot of parents are kind of faking it until they make it. And with the technology, it makes it even more difficult, Ro, because parents know that even with their young kids, but certainly with their teen and tweenage kids, they're way behind. Their kids are lapping them. So yeah. A lot of kids are telling me, unfortunately, that they are able to kind of cheat the system really readily using Google as their best friend and, you know, do pretty well on homework, even if they don't comprehend a whole lot.
Dr. John Duffy is with us. He is a family therapist. He's going to help us through this. The kids are not going back to school this year in the state of Illinois. They're just not going back. That's officially the rule now, according to the governor of the state of Illinois. And there are a lot of parents out there kind of knew this was coming, John, right? I mean, they knew it was coming. The kids kind of knew it was coming. Kids are all talking to each other on the Snapchat anyway, or whatever the hell they're on now. And so they all know what is. They hear the rumors, and they're sort of set up that way. And since I addressed that, let's address that quickly before we get to the phone call. 312-981-7200. How are you going to handle this? Are you going to handle this in your home? Are you worried about handling this in your home? That's why Dr. Duffy is here. What about the social media? How much social media do you allow them to engage while they're at home and especially during the school day?
Well, this is another thing where the normal rule that we therapists are barking about normally would be like 2 hours at the very long end. Otherwise, you're going to get an increase in depression and attention issues and anxiety. And now even that rule is out the window, Ro, because this is the primary way for kids to be in touch with their friends, to socialize in any way at all. Right. And so if your child is on social media of one form or another, or talking to friends on video games, and they're doing this for 4 hours a day, you're not going to hear a lot of noise from me, at least not now. I think on the back end, we're going to have to do a lot of scaling back. But for now, kids tell me, you know, and they're being pretty sincere about it, you know, there's not that much else to do where they're actually talking to somebody their age that they like and care about. So you have to let the line out at least a little bit.
All right. To the phones we go. 312-981-7200. Dave, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was thinking that the American family could grow stronger in the greater picture over these next 3, 4, 6 months. What do you think, Doc?
Yeah, if I heard you right, Dave, I think you said the family could grow stronger, yeah?
And yeah, I have two college-age boys who are around us a lot more under these circumstances.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, I don't think the quarantine is an opportunity for much, but for family connections to grow and get better, there's definitely an opportunity for that. The important thing as parents, and you may have run into this already, Dave, is you've got to set the tone for that. So if you create a tone that is over judgmental, has too many rules, and too many arguments, then you're going to get a lot of separation, which is okay, but you want some time together, because you're right, this could go on for some time, in all likelihood it will, and there's some quality time to spend here. There's some in-jokes that you can create that makes your family resilient to the rest of the time that's coming, and we don't know how much longer that is. So I think that's a really good point. There is an opportunity to strengthen those connections there.
Well,
for sure.
I think to Dave's point, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. That was a great question, or comment, I guess, because that is really the only hope that you have. You have to be optimistic about this, because this has already been a tough slog no matter what, and it's very hard to be optimistic, especially when if you watch too much news, which I encourage people to watch. I encourage people to be aware of what's going on. I encourage people to be also wary about who's telling you what, but you also have to keep some sort of optimism, and it's harder and harder and harder. We have a text question from a caller in the 630. What do you do about grounding kids when you can't ground them? They're already grounded.
Right. Consequences becomes a whole different game here in terms of, you know, the quarantine or the shelter in place order. There isn't a whole lot you can do by the way of consequences. The only leverage most parents have right now is a screen. It's usually your child's phone. And I have to tell you, like, my press here would be to use that sparingly, because if you take the phone away for what you think is a major infraction today, tomorrow's infraction may be far worse, and suddenly you're without leverage and you find yourself like taking doors off hinges and doing things that you would normally never do. So you want to give a little bit of latitude to the behavior that's allowable. And if your kid's misbehaving a little bit or irritable or anxious,
or a lot,
that's pretty normal these days. A lot, yep, and more as the weeks go on.
Yeah.
You have to expect that that's going to happen. This is not going to be smooth. So, you know, to your point, Ro, like, call in if you're having a hard time, because most of us are going to have a hard time through this.
Yeah. If you haven't had a hard time yet, you're going to. So 312-981-7200. Denise, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Denise.
Okay, yes. My son is a senior this year in high school, and it looks like the graduation and the prom, they are talking about rescheduling it for a later time. But my son is at this point saying, well, what's the point? I don't, you know, if it's not going to be like during the regular graduation time or whatever, he just wants to totally skip it at this point because he sees no point in attending right. any of the, you know, the ceremonies at this point.
True.
So my question is, you know, it seems like the seniors kind of got the short end of the stick, you know, this year with what's happening. And I'm hoping that they take the opportunity to go with the opportunity to do something with what's happened.
Yeah, I actually agree completely, Denise. I think it's really brutal to be a high school senior right now, or for you, Denise, to be the parent of a high school senior. For a lot of us parents, we've pictured some of these rights our child's whole life, and to know, like, okay, this isn't going to happen, or this certainly isn't going to happen the way I envisioned, is really very difficult. And your son is probably being pretty honest when he says, like, well, if it's not going to happen the way I pictured it was going to happen, then what is the point? And I'm going to be getting ready for college or whatever the next thing is by the middle of summer. What I have found, just between us here, is that if you probably have some leverage here. And you might say, you know what, do this for me. Like, I would love for you to, even if you think this is going to be the better thing for you, which I think it will be, I think most kids should go to whatever rite or ceremony schools end up putting together, even if it ends up being at the end of July.
Yeah.
I would encourage them to go, and if you need to leverage your relationship with him a little bit and say, do this for me, he won't regret it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
I think that's totally true. Totally true. Hey, I want to ask you this question, Denise, since you're in this exact circumstance. Is he going to college at the end of this?
Yeah, he's planning on going to community college, and, you know, of course, now the orientation and registration has been delayed, so I think he kind of feels like he's in limbo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it. They're community colleges, there are a lot of kids who are going to come out and go into programs like that where that are just as impacted as anything else, right? And there's no way to know. I mean, community college is a little different because you can just, you know, you can go and you can sign up, essentially, as opposed to the application process and going through that whole rigmarole. But in doing that, again, I mean, and what do? Idle hands, right? I mean, Doc, Denise has kind of a different set of problems than a lot of parents who are going to be sending their kids off to college, and hopefully that those college admissions still hold and all of those kinds of things. But, you know, he's got to go out essentially now. If he doesn't go into community college, he's probably got to get out of the house and do something useful. Right, Denise?
Right. I definitely hope so.
Yeah. I mean, how do you encourage that, John?
Yeah, so that is such a tricky problem. And we've got months of it, right? So we've got months where he's got idle time, and a lot of the kids I know who even have acquired summer jobs no longer have those jobs available to them. So here, I think parents in particular and their high schoolers have to be really, really creative in thinking of ways to keep them busy and to keep them occupied and to structure what is, in the end, a wholly unstructured period of time. And what a lot of parents are already thinking about is, what can we have done around the house? What can they do around the neighborhood? What kind of cottage industry can they start? So I'm working with some kids who are putting little lawn services together right now, like delivery services to people with their groceries and things, and things like that, in order to keep busy, make some money, but mostly just to keep that the brain and the body occupied. Those are the most important things to do with your kids. Some free time is fine, but we've got to find ways, and I think this is going to get more and more tricky as time goes on, to keep them really as occupied as we can.
Dr. John Duffy is who we're talking to, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, which, oh my God, has there ever been a better time to have that particular title? Let's talk about kids who are going off to college here. On Monday, we're going to have a college counselor type that's a national expert on this talk about what this means for rising seniors next year. That's a big deal, right? Because now they're in that process of going out and maybe even over the summer trying to visit some colleges they wish to apply to, or they got to get the SATs or ACTs in. A lot of schools now are saying we don't need SATs anymore. I mean, there are a lot of questions that are around that. But how do you address the anxieties of parents of sophomores and juniors who are now trying to get their kids out of the house to go to college?
In a way, we're always thinking contingency plans now. So in terms of the college tours, a lot of those are like virtual tours, but they're really a little unsatisfying relative to being on campus and getting that feel. So neither parents nor kids are particularly inspired by that, nor do they feel like they can make a final choice based solely on that. And you'll probably hear more about that on Monday. In the meantime, it's kind of important to have a couple of contingency plans in place, because a lot of people are already thinking like, well, I'm not sure that college is going to look the way it does now, a year and a half from now. So people are already thinking in terms of the community college model, like Dave was talking about a moment ago, or a gap year kind of thing where, you know, it's a lot of people are talking about, like, if we took that gap year and we did something else, we did something like AmeriCorps, maybe there'd be time for things to normalize, or there'd be a new normal established in that, like, collegiate level.
So a lot, John, hold on. I want to stop on that point for a second, because Cynthia has a very startling question for us. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hey, I have a junior in college. I've been hearing that it's a real good chance that they're not going to get back into the schools until January, because you think about those close quarters.
Yeah.
You think about these kids are dying to get some get together. You think about drinking out of the beer bottles.
Yeah,
blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. So that's the question. What do you do with them? I mean, Cynthia, this is like a doomsday scenario. What do you do with these kids if they're going to be in the house with you, you know, for the most part of the next year?
Yeah. Yes. And I've heard these rumors too, Cynthia, and everybody has. The Boston University article that came out yesterday or the day before has people thinking, wow, is this going to be rampant? Is this going to be every school? And we really have to start thinking about long-term, how are we going to be able to live with our 19, 20, and 21-year-olds? And so I don't love the family meeting, but I think we have to establish some house rules because this is a very unnatural circumstance we're stepping into, and a lot of families are already in that, is conflict built into it, right? Because there's just the bedtime conflict, or the can I have a beer? I'm 20 years old conflict.
Right.
And so I
want my girlfriend to come over and spend the night. All right, John, we're going to have to leave it there for right now, but let's talk about this again next week, because parents are just now starting to absorb this, that their kids are not going back to school this year. They kind of knew it, but now it's official, and then the real fear begins of, well, if they're not going back now, when are they going back? So, John, we will talk to you again about this next week. Parenting the New Teen in an Age of Anxiety is John Duffy's book, and no better time book could there possibly be than that.